get with your spouse and get by yourself and just kind of play in your mind that whole event, because that was a pivotal day for you as it was a pivotal day for me. But this notion of spiritual intimacy, I'm choosing my words very carefully. Intimacy is one thing, but spiritual intimacy is even more critical. This is when you really know that you're not only on the same page, but that your goals are aligned, your mission statement, your family mission statement is aligned. And if you don't have a family vision or mission statement, you need to work on one. It doesn't have to be elaborate, doesn't have to be fancy, but it should be a simple statement that explains to people what your family is all about. For instance, the mission statement for the Davis family is to do what we can while we can. That's it. And if we see an opportunity to serve, then by George, that's what we're going to do. You don't have to write Stephen Covey and say, hey, give me a mission statement for my family. This should be something that drives you as a family unit. Your children need to know it. You need to know it, and you can share it at the drop of a hat. So if you don't have one, let me encourage you to start working along those lines. Here I'm asking you to discover the essence of yourself through this emotional, social, intellectual, and physical union with your partner. One of the problems that I've seen in counseling is that the sexual union is not where it should be because these other dots haven't been connected. So, brothers, if you want to have the July 4th fireworks before the night is over, then you're going to have to start early in the day. You're going to have to start at breakfast. And you can't expect your wife just to fall head over heels in love with you if you've been talking to her like she's a second-class citizen and you haven't treated her with respect and deference. How in the world is she ever going to give herself to you wholly? And so we have to work diligently in each one of these areas so that when you give yourself to each other, it is a moment that can only be described as thank you, Lord. And that's what you want. This closeness between two people is enveloped by this atmosphere of deep caring and commitment. It permeates the whole home. And your children, when your children look at you, they know that my daddy is not leaving my mama. They know that my mama is not leaving my daddy. It is not even up for discussion. They know that both of you have sold out and that you're in it to win it. They know that. They sense it and they see it. But with children, as you know as well as I do, they've got this ability to know when something is not right. And if they sense that something is wrong between the both of you, they're going to blame themselves, because they're going to think it's their fault, because that's what children do. They look to us for comfort. They look to us for affirmation, and they look to us to make sure that they are grounded appropriately. And that's all kind of wrapped up in this nature of intimacy. I hit a little bit on it in the earlier presentation when I was mentioning to you about pornography. Did you know that people who are involved in pornography, and sisters, don't y'all sit there and think that this is just a man thing, because y'all are coming so close to eclipsing us now in dealing with pornography that it's not even funny. But this notion of pornography, if it is not dealt with properly, you have people coming into a relationship who actually think that when I get married, then the pornography scourge will go away. And it won't. It just digs in deeper. And when your mate finds out about it, it's a heart-rending situation, because now she's thinking, okay, I'm not good enough for you. You don't find me attractive enough that you've got to look at some kind of digital image, or you got to go out to a club, or you got to, you know, act out. And so where does that lead me? It is a devastating situation. And this is very, very real. And the thing that troubles me in the Lord's church, especially when we deal with our teens, is that we don't talk to them frankly. So we let people in the street educate them. We let people who have no interest in them, we let them school them, so that when we talk to them, they look at us and go, oh yeah, Dad, I already know about that. No, they don't. They really don't. It is devastating what pornography can do to your marriage. And that's why, if whatever is in your relationship that's not causing you to get on the same page, you need to try to get that stuff cleared up. Work on yourself. Trust in some brother who loves the Lord and loves you and will get you some help if that's what's needed. But don't allow anything to keep you from giving yourself wholly to your mate. What's your reaction to what I just said? You think I'm blowing smoke, or you think that this is something that we shouldn't concern ourselves with? Yes, sir. Indeed. He's got the tool bag, ma'am. You're exactly right. And the thing about the devil is he's on the J-O-B, and he's not afraid to use whatever he needs to bust up your home. And we think that the devil plays by the rules of the Geneva Convention. He doesn't play by the rules of the Geneva Convention. He'll shoot you in your back, in your head, and anywhere else to kill you and to kill your marriage. That's what he'll do. And again, we need to be aware of his schemes. Now, I know you've read in the scriptures about leaving and cleaving, but you also got to weave. You must leave and cleave and weave. And that's where you make your money. When you weave your life into the life of your mate, when people look at the back of the tapestry, all they see is a bunch of jumbled knots, and it doesn't make sense, and look at all this, and look how terrible it looks. But then when you flip it the other way, that's when you see what God has done with you. That's what you see what God can do for your marriage. But you got to commit yourself to weaving your life together. That's why if you take the 30-day challenge and you turn off that television, you spend more time with your children. Once your children go to bed, they may even start going to bed earlier. Amen. Well, they ain't got nothing else to do, because they're going to say, well, Mom and Dad, and turn off television. Our life is over. Let's go to bed. Okay, yeah, y'all go to bed. Good night. And then you can start having these deep conversations. Brothers, when we tell our wives we love them, we need to tell them why we love them. I love you because this is what you do to me. This is how you make me feel. And spell it out. Because again, women have these antenna that come up out of their head, and they want to know the whole deal. Honey, I love you. And if she says, well, why? Well, because I just do. See, you've already struck out right there. See, I mean, she's given you an in. She's given you the opportunity. And that's when you can just, I mean, and you don't have to try to be a Don Juan or anybody like that. But you just need to try to be as specific as you can as to how she is changing your life. And that will pay dividends for you. I'm telling you, she'll charge y'all extra for that. But it will pay dividends. Okay. It goes without saying that without trust, it's hard. Very, very difficult. And my first point, never, ever give your wife a reason. Never, ever give her a reason to doubt your commitment to her. She should never wonder if you love her. She should never wonder if she fulfills all of your needs. She should never wonder about that. I'm so glad that I started with that first point, because again, it's so easy to think that that is a trifle statement, but there's nothing trite about that. Because again, women are very sensitive creatures. They're different from hard-headed brothers. We're different. See, because we're going to fix everything. You give us a hammer, by George, we're going to go fix it. Even if we have to beat the screw into the wood, we're going to fix stuff. That's what men do. Ladies, y'all want a relationship before anything is fixed. You want to feel good about what's going on. You want to have peace of mind, and you want to know that everything is going the way that it should. Well, sometimes we miss the boat on that. But I know that we must never, ever give you a reason to doubt our sincerity and doubt our commitment to you in this relationship. And this trust and confidentiality must not be violated. Well, you're sitting there saying, okay, so what happens if it is violated? So what I've been saying from the very beginning is, when you work on yourself and when you focus on Jesus and when you live a penitent life and you make a mistake or whatever the case may be, you turn yourself in. Because there's no sense in trying to hide it, is it? I mean, that only makes things worse. So brothers, when you come home from work on Monday, Lord willing, and your wife looks at you and says, honey, were you faithful to me today? You know, you can't stand there and say, well, I sure tried to be. See, because right there, you're going in the doghouse. I mean, it's either yes or no. But can she feel comfortable, and does she know in her heart of hearts that she can trust you? Now, I will say this. I trust God and I love my wife. But I think trusting your mate to the exclusion of trusting God is a big mistake. Because if you put too many of your eggs in a basket, when that person lets you down, then I'm going to leave the church. Why? See, we there's a fine line in what we're saying. I love my wife, but I trust Jesus. I love my wife unconditionally, and I'm not leaving my wife. I don't care what she does. And I've told her that. But the fact of the matter is this trust thing, my wife has got to know in her heart of hearts that I'm there to stay. But if I don't have God where he should be, then I can't say things like that. Because you've seen too many people, and I have seen too many people where the comment is, well, you know, he hurt me before, so I can't trust him. Well, have you ever sinned? Yes. Well, then why can't you forgive him? Just go ahead and say it. I don't want to. Okay, well, then now we know what we're dealing with. But this relationship thing is, it's hard, man. There's nothing like it. That's why Jesus gave us the only way that the marriage relationship can be broken. And that is when sexual immorality is introduced into the relationship, you have an out. Now, you don't have to take the out. But that is so heinous that Jesus says, yes, you can break the relationship. But outside that, I don't care how ugly you get, and, you know, how bad your language is, and if you have halitosis or if you got bad feet that smell bad. I mean, none of that lets you out of the relationship. And to hear your wife tell her friends, if you happen to overhear it, I love my husband and I trust him. Wow. And that would be something. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I think the first couple that comes in my mind is Mary and Joseph. Now, in the Jewish tradition, he was in the engagement period, but the engagement period was so powerful that they, in essence, were married. And when he found out that she was with child, you saw what he was going to do. I'm going to put you away privately because I don't want to bring any kind of dispersion on your family and all of that. But he was leading his family at the time. But I think that old boy, I think he had his head in the right place. And I think that they were doing it the right way. And maybe that's why God chose to use Mary to bring Jesus into the world. That's just one couple I could think of just right off the top. Well, I'll go you one better. When I talk to couples who tell me that they want to get married, there's a series of conversations that we have about that. Tell me about your mental state. Tell me about your financial state. Are you in a position to take this woman into a house or into an apartment or into your own environment where you can build upon your relationship? Are you there? Well, no, because we're going to go stay with my or whatever. And see, as soon as you throw that out on the table, then they as a couple are going to have to deal with that. I mean, what does that mean? And how is that going to allow you to build this relationship that God has called you to? So that's why I was saying earlier that marriage is not for children. People have to be prepared emotionally, financially, spiritually and mentally. It's a holistic kind of thing. And I've had couples to get up and tell me, you know, you're not going to counsel us anymore. I said, that's fine. But you asked for Christ-centered counseling and this is all that I can give you. Because I'm telling you right now, marriage is not one long necking party. Somebody's got to get out of the bed and go to work. Somebody's going to have to get out and be the breadwinner, and I want to know who that's going to be. Who is going to be taking care of the money that you got? I mean, it's, you know, to talk about a whole lot of things. Let's talk about her side of the family. Have you met her side of the family? Have you asked permission to marry this girl? Do you know, young lady, do you know anything about his side of the family? Have you met his mama? Because ain't no woman alive good enough for her son. See? I mean, my wife had to go through that. So it's a situation where you just have to throw all that out on the table and see if people are mature enough to deal with it. It's, again, it's not easy. What my wife went through with my mom, if I had been her, I wouldn't have done it. But again, because she loves Jesus, she did. And now my mom thinks she's the best person since sliced bread. I said, she's always been this way. Shut up, boy. You know, so So, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't overlook that. And the people that say, well, it's just going to be us against the world. No, that's stupid. You can't do that, because what's going to happen when you bring a child into the world? Then all of them going to show up at the door anyway. They can show up, but they don't have to dictate what happens in your family. But they're still your family. You can't do nothing about that. So I just try to tell them, hey, look, you better try to address every possible contingency and don't back away. Is there a history of any kind of illness in the family? Then that person that's marrying them has a right to know that. I mean, you can't keep those kinds of things away from people. Anybody else have a suggestion? You big time preachers that want to give her an example of a couple that was leaving and cleaving. I would say Priscilla and Aquila, but we don't know that much about them. But I do know this. If Apollos was mighty in the scripture and they both took him aside, they must have been good in the book, too. And it didn't say that Aquila talked to him. The scriptures say they both talked to him. So I see that's what I'm talking about right there. I didn't mean to get off on that. But anybody else have another example that you wanted to mention that you could think of? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because yeah, that's what you think, you know. Yeah, man. Hey, boy, she's beautiful, ain't she? Yeah, right. Okay. But, that's true. Because God told her, get away from these people. Get away from your kinfolk, boy, because staying here is not good for you. And that's exactly what he did. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Indeed. I think what we're saying now, and you need to tell your children, and I'm looking forward to telling my grandson that when he comes and tell me he's in love, then we're going to find out what that means. See? I mean, it's just so easy for them to say, I'm in love. Okay. So how did you come to that conclusion? I mean, I'm not going to argue and try to embarrass him, but I want to make sure that what he says is founded on the Word of God. Because if it's not, they're going to be in trouble. We got guys standing at the altar and women standing at the altar, and they've got their fingers crossed behind them. You know, I'm in this as long as I'm happy. Now, does God want you to be happy, or does he want you to be holy? And there is a big difference. And yet people don't talk about the holiness that is associated with marriage. Everybody wants to be happy. Well, marriage is not about being happy. Marriage is about forging a life together. And when you have joy in Christ, then you can make it. Some of you are sitting here this afternoon and your life is full of pain because of medical issues going on in your life. And you're still faithful to Jesus. Man, when there's medical issues going on in your house, people can quote all the scriptures that they want, but they don't know what you're going through. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all look at the bullet, the second one from the bottom. Zero presence of exploitation and manipulative behavior. Now, sisters, y'all need to listen to me carefully. You can't use sexual intercourse as a reward for good behavior. You can't do that. And you can't have your husband dangling over the fires of Hades and you're going to hold out because, no, I ain't doing nothing until you do this, this and this. You can't do that. Because that's wrong. And then you're sitting there saying, yeah, but you don't know how he's hurt me. Well, then that needs to be worked out. But I'm just saying, when the sexual union is used as a bludgeon, when it's used as a hammer, as a negative whatever, so you can get what you want and he can continue to suffer, it always ends up bad. And when I have talked to couples about this, they've looked at me and said, oh, no, Brother Davis, I don't do things like that. I'm not manipulative. You're not? No. Yes, sir.
Brother Davis, if you read the letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says your body is not your own.
Indeed.
The body of the man belongs to the woman, and the body of the woman to the man.
That's exactly right. And again, we know what the Bible says. But Jesus is saying, are you going to live what the Bible says? Are you going to do what that says? And that's why when you focus on you, when you focus on being the kind of person that Jesus approves of, your wife will be more than happy to give herself to you. Your husband will be more than happy to nibble on your ear and give you chill bumps and have your children say, Mama, what's wrong? Baby, don't ask me what's wrong. Let me tell you what's right.
See? Reward,
that's correct.
That's the problem.
That is correct. Yes, and I've when I hear out in public, I know y'all are not going to believe this, but sometimes in our fellowship, I will hear a sister say, "Well, you know, if my husband's head wasn't so hard." Or if he would just do what I tell him to do, then I think things would be a whole lot better for him at night. And I'm looking for a stick. See? I'm not thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You're fixing your mouth to say that? And God is listening? And God is watching? That's frightening to me. But what is even more frightening is what is causing her to say that. See, there's some pain somewhere. Something is happening there that is causing her to move away from him rather than moving toward him. And the intimacy is just, it's non-existent. And then you've got some brothers who love every sister in the church other than their own wife. Hey, Sister Jones, I ain't seen you in 3 days. Come here and give me a hug, girl. And there's his wife saying, well, I've been married to you for 30 years. You ain't gave me a hug yet. I mean, we really do need to get ourselves reined in. I mean, she's your wife for a reason, for crying out loud. But again, zero tolerance for this exploitation and manipulative behavior on either part, on either side. Now, guys, this is what I used to do. I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. So I would get mad, see, with my wife because of something that she said was true. So I'd get mad. See, I'm going to get mad because you done figured out what you shouldn't have figured out. But even though it was true, you still figured it out. I'm still mad. So now I'm in the bedroom and I ain't talking. See, I ain't talking because, you know, and don't even come on my side of it. I don't even want your hands on me. So now I've turned my face to the wall, see? And my wife is saying, well, honey, did I do something wrong? See, I ain't saying nothing because I got her in the refrigerator. Y'all hear me? Yeah, I got her in the freezer. That's manipulative behavior. That's childish behavior. But I had to do it because I knew. See, I'll teach you to tell me something that's going to hurt my feelings. So 20 minutes later, the light is still on and my wife is saying, honey, whatever I did to offend you, I'm sorry. Well, see, I ain't saying nothing now. See? I don't care what you say. You can be sorry the rest of your life. It's too bad. See? Because I'm mad. See, because I'm in control here. See, I'm an elder. I'm a preacher. I know the Bible and look how I'm acting. See, because that's what I can do. So I drift off to sleep. 30 minutes later, I wake up. The light is still on. So I kind of turn back over. She's still sitting there. So I turn back over the other side. 45 minutes later, the light is still on. I told y'all, man, I'm married to a woman who loves God more than me. That light did not go out. Did not go out until I told her what I was mad about. She said, but I told you the truth. I said, I know you told me the truth, but you ain't have to tell me the truth like that. See, it's always something. See, I mean, you just make up stuff. And that's what I did. So my wife said, well, I really wish that I could have found the right way to say it. I had prayed about it. Well, see, now she's just heaping burning coals on my, what am I going to do? I said, yeah, I forgive you. Well, can I turn the light out? Asking me now, can I turn the light out? I don't care what you do. You know, like I say, guys, we can be rough and ready. You know, we can just grouse at them and they'll just, oh, what did I do wrong? And I'm going, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. You go back and think about it and leave me alone. That's wrong. That's wrong. And I thank God that he helped bring me out of that. But what if I had been married to somebody that was immature? What if she had said, okay, you feel that way, and got up and start throwing some stuff in a bag? Well, I think I'll go down to the Holiday Inn because I can get me a full night's sleep there and I won't have to put up with a 2-year-old. What if she had said that? Oh, honey, don't leave. No, see, it's too late. Then it's, somebody's got to be mature in the house, y'all. sometimes it's the leader, and sometimes it ain't. So, and that's why I've got my last bullet there. You got to consistently keep it real in the relationship. If you're upset, then you need to say you're upset. If you're bothered, you need to say you're bothered. Before we left Nashville, there was an older couple. And I'm telling you now, this guy made me so uncomfortable because he was wooing his wife around the church building. And he was in his 70s. And my wife went up to him and she said, would you please give my husband some lessons? And he said, ma'am? She said, would you please give my husband some lessons because he needs to learn how to do this. And I'm telling you, he was dead serious, wasn't it, Shorty? I mean, his wife was smiling ear to ear. Come here, girl. Come here. You know, I thought, okay. You know, I mean, but it was so genuine. He was so sincere. Girl, let me hold your hand. I can't be walking out this building by myself. I need to hold your hand. Oh, you don't want to hold my hand. Yes, I do. I want to hold both of them. I mean, they were just so, ooh, it was really, really good. And it was real. It was genuine. And I thought, I can't do that. You know? But my wife went over and asked him anyway, you going to train my husband? You going to talk to my husband? Help the brother out. Talk to him. You know? And she said it with me standing there. You know, she didn't do it behind my back. She said it in front of him and in front of me because that was important. So every once in a while, I'll do something crazy now in Walmart. I will. You can ask her. I'm telling you, boy, I live on the edge. I live on the edge. So, you know, she knows I'll stop. I said, you know you like this. You know you like it, girl. You know you like it. Yes, sir. Won't I do it, shorty? That's what I'm talking about right there. Yes, sir. This unconditional positive regard, you're looking for Christ-centered validation. That helps with everything. It's not what I want. It's not what you want. But what is going to honor Jesus through this conversation? Love does not depend on performance. I've already said that. And our mate needs to know that they're going to be there in sunshine and in rain. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But he's one
of those
people that is not like that.
Okay.
He thinks I'm running away, and I'm not. I'm just trying to calm down before I say anything. I don't have to constantly apologize to say anything that I don't need.
Well, before you walk away the next time, you can say, honey, I need 10 minutes to go talk to God to get my heart right, mm-hmm. and to get my attitude right, and to get my ears right. And as soon as I do, I'll be right back. And let's see what he says. Oh, you don't need to do that. Well, you can't say that. Because if you're walking away and not saying anything, especially to a man, that says, okay, so you're disrespecting me. And it doesn't matter what the tenor of the conversation has been. But when you say, this is what I'm going to do and this is why I'm doing it, see, that shuts all of that down. And there is nothing that he could say about not knowing why you stepped away. See, again, it's the key to bringing that piece together. Yes, we're talking right now, but obviously my head is in the wrong place. I need to go work on me. You haven't said anything about him. You're talking about yourself, which I think is wonderful. Does that make sense? Okay. That'll be $2.30. Oh, my goodness. Okay. And then the psychological comfort. Now, this is where many men fall off the wagon, because we tend to be sight oriented individuals. We tend to forget that there is a hidden feeling and sentiment that our wives have. Brothers, you can look back over the time when you were about to make a serious financial investment, and your wife probably said, honey, there's something about this that bothers me. Well, what is it that bothers you? Well, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something that bothers me. That's that other sense that our wives have that we don't necessarily have. And I'm telling you, many times we need to listen to that, because there could come a time when that sixth sense could save you. So if she is uncomfortable, or if there's something that bothers her, please make sure that you've done everything to explain what you're doing and why you're doing it and how it's going to work. And don't just say, no, you just give me a hard time just because you always give me a hard time. And then that leads you in the wrong direction. But I thank God that they got this sense built into them that says something is bothering me and I don't know what it is. And we need to hear that when they throw it out on the table. Have y'all had that experience before? Anybody? Yes. Yeah, that's true. How many of you are the CFO in your relationship? You take care of the money. Okay. Is there a couple in here that you do it co-equally? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So I think that's fascinating that I'm also finding more couples who actually work through their financial issues together. And I mean, you pay the bills together, you do the whole thing together, right? Because in my house, my wife is the CFO. And it's fascinating because when she does this budget and when she rips out all this stuff, she brings all this stuff in and she lays it out and she says, okay, here's the story. You know, what do you want to do? It's just, if that had been left up to me, I'd be writing these elders and asking them to send me money to get out of jail or something. Because you just have to know what your strength is. And again, if there is a man who is not secure in himself, it makes for bad television. Y'all hear me? And I remember the first time I said this in a sermon at Arlington, that I pray that you marry a woman who is smarter than you. You would have thought that I started speaking in tongues. I mean, those guys' face just shriveled up like a raisin, and just after the assembly, I mean, a bunch of them. Oh, we need to talk to you. I said, okay. So they took me in the back. So Brother Davis, what did you mean? I said, I didn't stutter. We don't agree. I said, I've got one question. When your wife got on the table between heaven and earth and died, really, on the table to bring your children into the world, who else in the world would you want raising your children other than her? I'd want her to do it. I said, okay, you'd want her to do it. So then she's brought this child into the world. She's putting up with your foolishness and your shenanigans. She has to continue to love you. Now she's trying to do what she can for these children. And if she has a career on the side, how many balls is that she's juggling in the air without dropping any of them? That's quite a few. I said, so don't take what I said as a negative. You should take what I said to you as a positive, because it just goes to show how God blessed you with someone that is just that brilliant. Why are you looking at that negatively? Well, I ain't never thought about it. I said, well, it's a whole lot you hadn't thought about. I said, but I'm telling you right now, I don't have any issue at all telling people how smart my wife is. None whatsoever. Because she is. She's brilliant. Well, maybe you can say it, but just not in a sermon. I said, I'll say it whenever God puts it on my heart. I just don't know if you ought to be saying stuff like that. I said, well, then I understand the countenance that's on your wife's face. And I turned around and walked out. We have sisters. Y'all put up with a lot. You really do. And many of you don't gripe and complain. Now, some of you may complain, but I said gripe and complain, because that's when it gets bad. But complaining, I think, is natural. I mean, if you see something that needs to change or a better way to do it, then you have every right to say something. But I just think it's a tremendous load, and God has given you the opportunity to help complete us. And I think that's why God created you, to help complete us. And that's huge. Was there a hand that went up? Y'all think I'm blowing smoke about? And brother said, oh, no, that's good. That's real good. That's real good, Brother David. Stay right there, you know. And show respect and consideration. That's huge. That's huge. Like I say, I've seen some guys show more respect for everybody in the church other than their own wife. And that's not good. I want my wife to know she's the queen of my heart. And I know you feel the same way. And just because you don't lead a seminar or get to run off your mouth like I do, that still should not stop you from making sure that your wife is the queen of your heart. She should know that. I mean, know it deep down in her soul, she should know it. And if she doesn't, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. And I'm as serious as I've ever been about this. I mean, without her, brothers, I'm telling you. I mean, you may think that you're all that in a bag of chips, but once you get on the same page with your wife, God will push you to levels you never dreamt possible. I was so excited last night, I couldn't even sleep hardly. Can you imagine what it was like to have these elders here to tell me last year, we want you to come back, Brother Davis. And we want you to bring your wife with you. Y'all just don't. Getting close to the end here. Principle number four, which is about commitment. I've already talked a little bit about turning the stumbling blocks in your marriage into stepping stones. Some of you probably can look back and remember when you used to eat your meals on a card table. And now I bet y'all have a table so long you can fit whoever you want to at that table. And bring out your china and your gold flatware. And your linen and everything else. Y'all can do all that now. But when you first got started, you weren't ashamed to eat beanie weenies. And you weren't ashamed to eat Vienna sausage. And somebody says, what's that? I know. See, some of y'all don't even know what it is. Y'all don't know what that is because you've been living large. See? And out here in Texas, let me tell you, y'all don't even know we're in a recession. Y'all don't. We went to San Antonio, didn't we, Shorty? And I told them that we were in a recession and you should have seen the... We are. I told y'all. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't have a clue how good God has been to y'all. And here in Killeen, y'all have made U.S. News and World Report. Especially the people of color that live in this area. The people of color in Killeen, Texas, live better than any other area in these United States. I know y'all know that, but I just want you to know I know it. I know y'all live in large. And I ain't mad at you. I think that's wonderful how God has blessed y'all. See, it's because it's what y'all do. Y'all not looking for the platitudes and all of that. But this area, because of that army base out there, I'm telling you now, y'all are on the map, man. And I think that is wonderful. We was driving around yesterday and I saw these guys in their military. I thought, whoop, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. Whew, I don't know how I got on there, but anyway. My goodness. Loving your mate when they don't act lovable. I know. Now, brothers, there's a time in your wife's life when things get bad for her. And I'm not going to say more than that, but you should know what I'm talking about. So you should be extra empathic, and extra understanding. Because if you're not, then you will never grow in married love. One of the books that I recommend, and I'll definitely give this one to you right now. It is a book that is written by Ed Wheat, and it's entitled Intended for Pleasure. And before I close out my premarital counseling, of course, when we start talking about sexuality,
You know, I see the little couple's eyes just light up, see, because they know everything, you know. Yeah, you don't have to spend no time here, Brother Davis, because we good. Because I know what I'm going to do, and I know what's going to happen on my married night. And I said, oh, you do, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I give them a blank sheet of paper, both of them, blank sheet of paper. And I said, okay, so I want you to sketch out the female genitalia, and I want you to label every part, and I want you to sketch out the male genitalia, and I want you to label every part. Then they look at me like I'm speaking Chinese. See? You got to do your homework. You need to know what is going on physiologically with your wife. You need to know about menses. You need to understand those things. And you can't understand them if you haven't done your homework. And so in that book, Intended for Pleasure, he is a doctor. And he believes in the Bible. And the way that that book is constructed, it is the best book that I have ever put my hands on. And I've been married more than 30 years now. I have not found a better book that I would recommend to couples and even those who are married, because it talks about the sexual relationship in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and beyond, he says. He talks about all kinds of things in there, and he talks about it from a godly perspective. And that was one of the 30 that I read before I got married. I'm so glad I did. And that's why I'm saying that women, God has given us such a complex creature. For men, we've got one switch off and on. Women, they're more than a crock pot. I've heard guys try to explain them as it's not a crock pot. It's like a computer board with 200 switches for women. And you got to know which one of those switches to push on and off, to try to get through to them and to make sure that you're clear on what they're saying. Because I watch y'all when y'all are in the grocery store at home, when we go to the commissary, I'm just standing there laughing. And my wife said, would you stop looking at these women with these grocery lists? But that's what y'all do. I've never seen one woman go in the commissary without a list. But I look at the guys, we go in there and ain't got no list. Yeah, give me this, give me that, put this in the basket. Not y'all. Y'all got to have the list, see? And y'all go down the list, and if it's not on the list, y'all ain't going to buy it. I'm thinking, why do y'all do that? That's just the way y'all are. And then y'all start asking these questions that you already know the answer to. See, I mean, before we came here, Brother Pettis, my wife said, Did you get the itinerary? I printed out the itinerary and had handed it to her the next morning. Did you get the itinerary? Now, see, it's stuff like that I can't handle. I can't handle that. But all I had to say was yes. But do I say yes? No, I don't say yes. See, I have to get myself in the doghouse. And then she says, could you just work on answering the question? You know, I'm thinking, how could I work on answering the question when I just printed the thing out and gave it to you? See? But that's how y'all are. Y'all have to connect all of these dots. And if y'all don't collect all of these dots, then you're going to keep asking the same question. It just drives me crazy. But I'm glad y'all do it. I'm glad you do it. But that's just, I'm saying, a guy, brother, you need to know that. So when she starts asking these questions, don't put a look on your face. Just say, honey, what else would you like to know? And just answer the question. And then you'll be fine. See, but I mean, after all these years, I still stumble over the same thing. I don't know. Just don't get it. The marriage relationship takes top priority in human relationships. When they ask you to stay late on your job, the first call you should make is home. Honey, they've asked me to stay for X amount of time, but after this time, I'm coming home. Don't do what I used to do. You know, my wife is calling me 2 and 3 times. I thought you said you were coming home an hour ago. Well, yes, but I've got to do one more thing. Really? I'm telling you, that job will eat you alive. And for those who work on the first day of the week, yes, when I was in the Air Force, I had to work, you know, shift work. But I also had a serious conversation with my superiors about working on the first day of the week. And you know what they said? You go to services, Sergeant. Because, yes, you are the best person I have on the floor. So you go. What did you say? You need to go worship? I said, that's what I said. OK, well, you go worship. And then when you finish worshiping, then you can come back.
Did you say Air Force?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's what I said.
But I can't break my Bible.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to work with it.
Well, and the thing about it is even if it doesn't work, as long as they know. See, that's what I'm saying. I've run into too many people who've said, well, they ain't going to. I said, You let them make the decision. But you need to tell them where you stand. Because when I went in there, I didn't know what they were going to say. But I knew what I was going to say. And I said it. Because I can be eloquent every once in a while. And so I just thank God that I put that out there. And got my Sundays off, Sunday morning and Sunday night. But it never would have happened if, I mean, you just have to push the envelope. And that goes for doctors, that goes for nurses, I don't care who it is. Those people need to know that you're not trusting in your own knowledge. You're trusting in God. And He is the one who has helped you to get to the level where you are. Now, why would you stop me from going to replenish my batteries? Why would you do that? Well, because what is everybody else going to say? Everybody else ain't here. I'm here. If they have something to say, they can come in here and talk to you. I'm talking for me. Then let it go from there. Was there a hand that I saw?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I do know, and I'm not under any illusion, because this brother was saying that people need to eat. See, so people need to eat, and he's running that operation. Then he may have to be there, but I still want people to know that the reason why he's running that operation is because he's a man of God, and the food that they eat will taste a little bit better because of him. So I'm just saying, I'm not letting any opportunity go by where I can't speak a kind word for Jesus. I'm just not going to do it. And even though people in our home congregation, well, that's it. That's because you don't work where I work. I said, you know what? Talk to the hand. OK, I don't even want to hear it. Don't be making excuses to me. You say you love Jesus, then go in there and put in a kind word for him. If the person says no, then they will have to deal with the consequences of telling you no. But at least you will say, I did everything that I could. Don't just give up just because you think that they're going to say no. You never know. Yes, ma'am. It was him. It was. It was Garfield. Oh, yes, ma'am. We just. And I know the medical field. I mean, my wife was a medical technologist for several years. And she would work that night shift from 11 to 7 in the morning, get off and stay up and go to the morning assembly, come home, catch her a nap in the afternoon, and then go to the evening assembly. I mean, there are some people that just they've just decided that's what they're going to do. So caring that is lasting with no strings attached. And this must never be a 50-50 proposition. And that's important. There's nothing 50-50 about marriage. It's 100% from me. That's it. I'm all in. And I'm not necessarily looking for anything in return from my wife because I'm honoring God and I told him what I was going to do. And when you come into the relationship like that, God will bless you with someone who's brilliant. He may even let you have kids, and he may even let you go to Killeen, Texas. See? I mean, who would have ever thought? As my wife and I were riding in this direction, in those comfort seats on Delta. Y'all hear me? I mean, y'all sent us here by the grace of God now. Because I'm 6'6", and my knees never even touch the seat in front of me. Well, that's what y'all did. And I don't minimize any of that. That's why I like to tell people what I need to tell them, because I want them to hear it. That God has really blessed you with a spirit of generosity. And with elders who do things first class. Because when I'm home, that's what I do. When we send for people, they're coming first class. We're going to treat them and roll out the red carpet for them. Because that's just how we roll. But now, we don't roll as good as y'all roll here. But, you know, let me just be clear on that. You know. commitment increases intimacy. It increases. Oh, yes, sir. So there can be more than one 4th of July, if y'all get my drift. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. Nearly all men touch their wives, but only a select few ever reach and connect with them. And until you know and learn and understand this difference, intimacy will only be a concept rather than a precept in dealing with the one you love. I should charge y'all extra for some of my inner thinking there. Okay. So, if you would share with me what the most important thing that you learned from this lesson, any questions that you have, and then as you think about your marriage success plan, is there one thing that you're going to work on? Whatever that thing may be, when are you going to start? Okay, so if you finish with your card, if you would maybe take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get into our last session, and we'll go from there. Y'all are doing a great job on these minute papers. I tell you, I'm so impressed. Y'all are doing good.